I think a lot of us, we're not getting communication from the body to the brain at our potential because the body is tense and rigid and offline. We're not bringing our awareness into the body to support that awakening as well. We're just living from our head.
I'm so grateful that we are connecting in this moment right now, and that you're back on the podcast a second time. You were on the podcast last year, probably more than a year ago. I didn't go and look back, but I feel like it's been over a year. And I wanted to have you on ASAP again, because for listeners that have been listening to a number of my episodes, you have heard me refer to Jessica as my mentor, Jessica. And so this is that Jessica. And I'm just so I'm so grateful. That's just the word that keeps coming to me, is grateful, grateful, grateful that we're able to connect, even though we're across the country from each other now. You are in California, I'm in Kentucky, and the magic of Zoom is that we can be looking at each other and talking to each other. So thank you so much again for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, what a pleasure and joy it is to be here with you. Thank you, Natalie, for having me. It's it's a gift. It's truly a gift to me. So thank you for having a space for me to talk about all this beautiful stuff that makes me so alive and excited to be a human.
I love it. Yeah. So before we dive into all of this amazing fascial awakening and nervous system talk, I want to give you the opportunity to let the listeners know, what is it that you want them to know about you?
About me. So yeah, I would say that I am first and foremost just a lover of the body, of the human body and the human heart. And I have immense care for humanity and love. And sorry, I'm getting emotional because I'm going deep and already like into what is meaningful to me. And my passion is to support people in awakening out of painful states and painful patterns and unconscious patterns, and to awaken into a place of more embodiment and resonance with their soul, their heart, their spirit, their essence. And yeah, the body is that vehicle, is that place for that awakening to happen. So yeah, I'm just a super passionate human. I feel like that for the last decade has just been my focus. It's just been on unraveling the mysteries and playing with my own awareness and learning how to engage with my body in ways that are going to support my own liberation. Yeah, I'm also I would say Buddhist, in that I love Buddha Dharma, and it's just such a beautiful framework for working with your consciousness, working with your awareness, and working with unpleasantness in the body. There's so many beautiful resources and tools there. And so I have a lot of like reverence to the Buddha. And so, yeah, we just wanted to name that. I feel like I'm on this path of Bodhisattva to support the awakening on this planet, to serve in any way that I can for souls that are resonant with what I have to offer and teach. And I'm dedicated to my own awakening. It's my lifestyle. So it's part of my lived experience, is always coming back to that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. And yeah, like I think I've just always been drawn to you and your energy from the moment I met you when you were the owner of a yoga studio in the Lexington, Nicholasville area in Kentucky. And that's how I came to know you. And then eventually took a yoga teacher training with you. And like as you were speaking just now, again, I was just kind of like flowing into this state of relaxation. And it's just your energy has always felt to me so genuine and curious and passionate about this work of embodiment and helping people in this world awaken and connect to their healing powers, their resiliency, all of that within us. And I think it's funny, you were also the one that introduced IFS to me for the first time, and which of course you planted a seed that has now sprouted into a beautiful, strong tree. So just so grateful for, your passions, your curiosity, your wisdom, and this work that you've been doing for a long time, as you said, in regards to embodiment and this awakening in the body. So I am so excited to have this conversation with you today about the nervous system and fascia and all of this cool stuff. And I did want to name too that I was grateful to see you in person for the Gil Headley talk that was in
Oh,
Cincinnati. Yeah, we haven't had a chance, me and you, to like talk about it. But yeah, so for the listeners who don't know, well, do you care to say who Gil Headley is? Because I found out about him through you.
yeah. So Gil, he's such a lovely human. I love his energy too. He's a beautiful soul. And he works with cadavers and looking at the fascia, or looking at fascia, looking at nervous system mapping. He's really mapped the whole nervous system in the body through studying cadavers, and he has a lab in Colorado Springs. And yeah, he's just really I guess a pioneer in this realm, or he's really bringing to light a lot that we don't know about, that we don't see, about the body and about the interconnectedness of the whole body, one part to the other, through this beautiful web of the fascia. And he is he's very soulful and has a lot of reverence to the body as well, and to the intelligence of the body. And yeah, he's poetic. He's just a beautiful human and very inspiring.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was so appreciative that you texted me that day to let me know that he was coming to Cincinnati, which is where I'm at, for like this 6.5 hour long presentation. He's on this tour, right? This like world tour of giving this presentation about his findings. And I was able to go there and you were there. And it was so impactful for me to be able to see. Like to actually see pictures and videos and to hear him talk in person about the nervous system, because you learn about it and you see like some illustrations, but I never really felt like this full grasp of it. The nervous system always felt kind of like mystical, which it is still, but it had this like kind of invisibleness to it in my mind. And Gil is able to like show it and be like, here is this one and this one and that one, and here's where it runs. And it was just, oh, it was great. It was great. And it's really helped me feel a deeper understanding and connection to the nervous system, especially now, like knowing, oh, in this area of the neck, here is where, the vagus nerve can run. And if we even just visualize that, and which is what he led us through in some of those exercises, just visually bringing awareness to these things and then being able to add movement and and purposeful touch, or all of like knowing, oh, it's there. It's there in this part of my body. It was just so cool. It was so cool. So thank you for
Yeah.
introducing me to him and his work, because it was great.
I'm so glad that you could be there. We could be there together. Yeah, and take that all in. I love to see, yeah, like that pathway, those pathways, and how they connected into the brain. Because, for a long time, I teach like, okay, if we have a lot of tension, we have tension in our shoulders, which most humans do, tension in our neck, like we are not getting optimal fluid flow into our brain of all the different fluids that nourish the brain, the blood and the lymphatics, the glymphatic system and the cerebral spinal fluid, and so many people are suffering, right, from, we could say, mental health issues. That is what the brain. Okay, so it's like, let's try to just start there, or implement more awareness of what the fascia is doing in these regions, and see the importance of daily massaging those areas. And even throughout the day, when you notice you start to get constricted, and so anyways, that was really beautiful, because then you could see the difference in the cadavers, the one that had more healthy flow to the brain, and then the one that didn't, and you could see the deterioration of the structures in the brain and the parts, and so yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it was so wonderful to be able to see these images, and also just having so much gratitude for the people that donated their bodies, to him, to be able to be used in that way to study all of this, because it's amazing to see these neural networks, I mean, throughout us, and to see how you were saying, like, this connection to our nervous system, to our brain, and the importance of it's not just mind body, it's all, like, we're all connected. And I think our culture has a tendency to separate, the we call it mind body, when it's, I don't know, do you agree with me on that? Kind of this, I feel like we almost need like
Yeah.
a better term.
Well, I like saying body mind, actually,
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I feel like it starts with the body, and which is what, I think Deb Dana talks about. It's like 80% is those afferent pathways. So the brain is receiving the information, brain is receiving is coming 80% from the body versus from the external environment. So yeah. We need to
Yeah.
put the body first and start looking and being more curious, taking more interest in, okay, what is the body? Like most people think the body, they just see this form, this structure, the skin, right? They see the skin, and but it's like, and they may think of the bones, but like under the skin is the fascia, which is that connective tissue matrix that's made of collagen and elastin, and actually is like a super intelligent organ that is considered living tissue. So, in a healthy person, their tissue is alive and it's resonant, right? And they're able to sense and feel into their bodies, and they're fluids are moving, their lymph is moving, their vascular muscles are dilating and moving and alive, and everything is in connection and communication with one another, all of the different parts. Yeah, to me, that's what I want to help people, is to change the way they look and relate and think about the body. Like getting more into the subtle, into the quantum biology, you could say, versus looking at it as just like a meat sack, is what some people describe it, which is just so painful for me to say. But yeah, it's like we're very dense in terms of, like, I think because of the form in the body, because of the density that is being stored in the body, it's limiting our sensitivity, our ability to sense and feel into deeper places and deeper experiences or deeper realities of the body, because we know, based off of polyvagal, that tension in the body is going to limit activation into higher circuits of the brain, right? It's going to limit our perceptual awareness. So it's going to make it more narrow, more dense, right? So what I'm here to support people is awakening their fascia, which is that beautiful sense organ that it's like an antenna that is filled with millions of nerves receptors that are sensing and feeling into the internal space of the body and also into the external world, so that it can then communicate to the limbic system about what's happening in the environment, right? 80% is coming from the fascial system. And then the brain can decide where it goes. The autonomic nervous system, we could say, decides, is that vagal brake going to come on? Or are we going to rev up the system? Or are we going to turn the brake on so much that we go into a dorsal, a shutdown state? So I think that we have a lot of potential in expanding our functionality of our nervous system when we work with the fascia directly and work with that as a system in awakening it through the endpoints of the body, the hands and the feet. For example, the hands have the most sensory neurons than anywhere in the body. And you can think about the sensory neurons that are in the fascia as like those are the intelligence that regulate you. What they're sending, what signals they're sending to the brain, it's either going to be a signal of threat through the tensioning that comes into the body, right? Or safety through the aliveness and through the brain getting clear communication, clear signaling through. I think a lot of us, we're not getting communication from the body to the brain at our potential because the body is tense and rigid and offline. We're not bringing our awareness into the body to support that awakening as well. We're just living from our heads, right? Through the stories that these dysregulated bodies are creating. And it's, as the Buddha would say, our fundamental delusion.
It's interesting because I've come to understand, or the way my direct experience with something like anxiety or shutdown, irritability, and then parts work, I'm looking at it now as like these two avenues that it's like we can have activation from the body, which then impacts our mind, of course. And then it can be reversed as well in terms of like a part of me getting activated in regards to sometimes a story that it's creating first, which then can then have a direct impact on my body. And so I've come to look at it as, yeah, those two different routes, or maybe they're the same route, but they just have different activation, points depending on the whatever's happening.
And they're interdependent on one another, right? So the body is in this state, which is then bringing the mind into a certain state. But when we regulate the body, that has the potential to uncling the mind out of the state it's in, versus, the mind goes into the state and then can create a response in the body and can compound that experience of suffering, right? Or we can use mindfulness and different ways to work that top down through the mind to then help the body shift. So they're interdependent on one another, which, It's that explanation of the bottom up and top down processing, which is that body mind system, mind body system, which makes it like I feel like that gives us a lot more hope because there's potential for us to create change to pathways, but we want to also bring awareness to both pathways. And I feel that a lot of people are bypassing the body. And I mean, I would say like they may be doing some work, but if you're not getting in and supporting your cells and discharging and releasing, then your cells are continuing to store that awareness, that those memories in those frequencies of dorsal or sympathetic, right? You're not coming into a felt sense of safety in the whole system from your tips of your toes all the way up, because all body parts are communicating to the brain. Our joints, for example, are really powerful regulators for the body. I mean, there's so many things that we can do that are simple and easeful to support this communication and coming online from body to brain.
Would you say, like, with so we've got, could you care to explain, like, for the listeners who aren't familiar with the fascia, we've got the fascia and then we've got the nervous system. Can you give some kind of more description, I guess, for the listeners who maybe aren't familiar with either of those two things? Like, I remember, like, in Gil's presentation, like, he showed us, like, the fascia, and he showed us the nervous system. And I guess, yeah, I guess I'm just wondering, can we talk about a little bit more specifics in regards to, I guess, the science of the fascia and the nervous system, just as like a background.
Yeah, so I think it was Gil that said this in a talk that I heard last year. He says that your fascia exists in service of your cells. So your fascia is the structure that supports and regulates and maintains the cellular body.
Isn't it also
So,
known as like the pantyhose? Like, did I hear that from somewhere where the fashion network, it's like the pantyhose of our system?
yeah, I
Kind of.
mean, you can say that it's holding everything together, right? So it's wrapping around everything. So, yeah, like your cells would just be, separated, not connected, and on the ground, just like your bones and your organs and all of that, if fascia wasn't holding it. I would say pantyhose, that's more of an external support,
Right.
but fascia actually runs inside the body. So it's a living matrix
Right.
that it wraps around every single bit of your bodily intelligence, right? Your organs, your bones are actually made up of fascia, a more dense form of fascia, but it's living biological matter. And your fascia even it goes into the nucleus of every cell. So it's a scaffolding for your cells, for your 74 plus minus trillion cells that make up your consciousness, that make up your expression of life, that make up your biology. So it's biological matter. And let's
Is it made up
see.
of collagen?
Yes, collagen and elastin and earth minerals, I've heard. And it actually has different types of cells in there that have different functions. So another reason why we want to start having a relationship with our fascia and moving our fascia regularly and checking in with it on what's happening there is that there are fasciocyte cells, fasciocytes recently discovered, that when you stimulate the fascia in a way, it's going to create and produce hyaluronic acid. So hyaluronic acid is then going to support the production of like a plasma. It's the fourth phase of water, plasma, which is what communicates. It's the substrate that sends the signals through the body. So fascia communicates through this plasma. It also has cells that are going to areas of the body that don't get movement, that just stay stagnant all the time, like in the upper shoulders. Think about this. People, you can go for a walk. Like when people go for a walk, if they have tension in their body, their fascia isn't necessarily moving because there's so much form in there.